Jesus did for us. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I really and truly believe that communion is the most important time of the service. You know, if we didn't do anything else but sing some songs to God and then take the Lord's Supper, we'd have church. You know, man, so far it's been just great. It's awesome. It's Senior Sunday. I'm so excited. Yeah. Really excited to see, you know, Jordan and Sam really put the service together. And so I'm really excited to see the presentation you guys have got later and everything that's going to be going on today. Go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 4. So technically, this isn't totally a communion. It's what I like to call a sermunion. So it's a sermon and a communion all in one. Since we have Senior Sunday, I'm not going to be coming back up here later. You won't have to hear me twice to preach. I'm just going to be doing a brief message, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper and continue with our service. So this month, we are, you know, our theme this year is Made New. And this month, we were looking at Made New by the Old. Okay, made new by some stories in the Old Testament. We were looking at a couple of stories from 1 and 2 Kings that Jesus then references later in what we're going to read today in Luke chapter 4. So, quick recap, we read in the first week, we read 2 Kings 5, the story of Naaman the Syrian, who had leprosy, and he had a servant girl that had been captured from Israel. And she told him, why don't you go, you know, there's a prophet in Samaria. Why don't you go and be healed? And so we read that story. He goes and Elisha tells him, hey, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. He doesn't exactly love that idea. He doesn't think it's a great idea. But eventually, because he's got some great friends in his life, he obeys and he's cleansed. We also read last week for Mother's Day the story of Elijah and the widow and her son, the widow of Zarephath. Okay, so there was a great famine. God had told him to go to King Ahab and say, hey, there's not going to be any rain except by my word for the next few years. And so he then has to flee. He's fed by the ravens until the Jordan dries up. And he goes to this town, Zarephath, a Gentile woman, a Gentile widow. He stays with her and does something miraculous, right? Her oil and her flour don't wear out, and God provides for them. But then her son dies. And she's kind of like, what's going on? You know, did you come here to remind me of my sin? And just like the blind man later in the book of John, you know, it's one of those things where, no, this didn't happen because she sinned or because the boy sinned, but because God's power was going to be displayed. And so the son is raised from the dead, and then she believes that there is a God in Israel after that. So we're going to read here in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus references these two stories. We're going to start in verse 14. It says, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. He was teaching in their synagogues, being praised by everyone. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release for the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying to them, today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. They were all speaking well of him and were amazed by the gracious words that came from his mouth. Yet they said, isn't this Joseph's son? And so here we've got, you know, one of Jesus's early sort of appearances. A lot of times people think this is his first appearance or his first preaching, but it wasn't. We read up there earlier that he had gone to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, right? So he had been baptized in the Jordan by John. He goes into the wilderness for fasting for 40 days, he's tempted by the devil, and then he comes back after overcoming that tempting in the power of the Spirit. And it says he went throughout the whole region teaching in the synagogues, and news about him spread everywhere. So he was going and doing some amazing teaching. He comes home, and what a homecoming it was, right? He comes home, and He gets the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 61. And he reads this section of Isaiah that is about the Messiah, that is about the Savior, that is about the servant. You know, last month we read the servant songs in Isaiah. And so this was one also about Jesus. And he reads it and everybody's like, hey, this guy's awesome. This man is amazing. But wait, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? You know, the thing about being at home is, you know, last week my mom came. It was Mother's Day, and she came to service. And the one thing you could guarantee is that after the service, my mom was going to say, great job, son. You know, your mom's always going to give you props. You know, your mom's always going to say, man, that was awesome. That was amazing. You know, and it's kind of like what it was like for Jesus. He goes home, and it's like, man, this is one of us. This is one of us. It'd be like, you know, Abby's in the act, and it'd be like Abby going, and she's on Broadway, right? Let's say she gets a part in, you know, The Lion King, or she gets a part in Hamilton, or something like that, and, you know, we see her name up in the lights, and then she comes back to Cornerstone and does a one-act play for us. And we'd be like, wow! Isn't this Mark and Victoria's daughter? You know? And so everyone was amazed at him, because of the gracious words that were coming from his lips. However, story doesn't end there. All right, story doesn't end there. Let's keep reading. Let's see what happens, and we're going to get to the part about Elijah and Elisha. Then he said to them, in verse 23, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me. Doctor, heal yourself. What we've heard that took place in Capernaum, do here in your hometown also. You know, this is a really interesting thing. A lot of us, you know, we see this whole proverb that he says, heal yourself. So there's sort of two things going on here. The amazing thing about God is, we talked about it a little bit last week, when all these stories and things were happening in the Bible, you know, God generally had sometimes two or three purposes for them. It had a meaning to the people while they were there, but it also had meaning to those who were going to read about it later. And so here when Jesus says, you're going to quote this to me, he's in Nazareth, but he's talking about, you know, when he's going to be up on the cross later, and they say, save yourself if you're the Messiah. Come down from the cross, and we'll believe you. But the other thing he's doing is he's also sort of talking about the situation there. He says, physician, heal yourself. He's saying, basically, take care of yourself. Take care of your own. And that's why he mentions the next sentence that he does. What we've heard that took place in Capernaum, do here in your hometown also. And so this idea of physician, heal yourself, is like, hey, you're from Nazareth, take care of your own. Make us famous the way you make Capernaum famous. Do some of those same things that you've been doing everywhere else here in your hometown. We want to be famous too. You're from here. Give your hometown a shout out. Let us get some of that glory. And he keeps going. Verse 24. He said, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I say to you, there were certainly many widows in Israel in Elijah's days, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, while a great famine came over all the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, except the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. And the prophet Elisha's time, there were many in Israel who had leprosy, and yet not one of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was enraged. They got up, drove him out of town, and brought him to the edge of the hill that their town was built on, intending to hurl him over the cliff. Well, that escalated quickly. And it says, but he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Why were they so mad? You know, why were they so angry? What was it that Jesus said, right? He just basically told some stories from Scripture. So why were they so angry? What made them so mad? Well, again, thinking about the two stories we read, these two stories have a lot in common. First off, in both of those times of those stories, Israel was in great need. There was famine going on. Okay? King Ahab was ruling in Samaria. Right during the time of Elisha and Naaman, you know, there were wars and skirmishes breaking out. Israel was in great need, but God didn't sort of save Israel during those times. He let them suffer. And Jesus is pointing out these two times when, in the midst of Israel really suffering, God sends a prophet to Gentiles. And so this really ticked these people off. He's like, wait a minute. So Jesus, you're saying that we're gonna you're not gonna do something great here in your hometown? And not only you're not gonna do something great here, you're gonna do something great for Gentiles? For these Romans maybe and Greeks that have been suppressing us and oppressing us, that are ruling in our land? And so they were furious. But not only that, the cool thing about God is he's always sort of, in his infinite wisdom, he's thinking sort of 10 steps ahead. We're playing checkers. God is playing like 500 games of chess at once. And so what he was talking about, if you remember, both of those stories foreshadowed something. So when you look at Nahum, and he had leprosy, he had a skin disease, and he had to go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and then his flesh became like that of a child afterwards. What was that foreshadowing? Baptism, right? And then you look at the widow and her son, they had this meal that basically became endless, right? The flour and the oil, right? Didn't run out. And her son was raised from the dead, okay? So, but the meal being endless, what did that foreshadow? Communion, right? And then her son being raised from the dead is a foreshadowing of the cross. And so Jesus is letting these guys know, or at least letting us know, that have the benefit of reading this whole story and knowing how it ends, that God is going to allow Gentiles, foreigners, not the people of Israel, to take part in the new covenant. God is going to give these blessings that Israel would like, that Israel want to participate in, to people that were outside of the covenant. Baptism and communion, right? And so the thing that's so awesome about this story, so amazing about Jesus, is when he's saying this, unlike a lot of other people in the Bible, when they say something, they have no idea what the implications are going to be later. But Jesus did. Being the Word made flesh, he knew exactly when he was saying this, that one day at Cornerstone Church, you know, on September 20th, we're going to be reading this and be able to make these connections. That this story about Elijah and the widow's son wasn't just about Elijah and the widow's son. It's about Jesus going to the cross. It's about communion. This story about Naaman being cleansed wasn't just about Naaman getting rid of leprosy. It's about us one day being able to be in the waters of baptism and have our sins forgiven. And so these guys get pretty upset and they want to throw him off the cliff. So when we think about Jesus, it's amazing because just like Elijah, he raised a widow's son. Luke takes special care to point that out later. Just like Naaman, Luke healed a foreigner, a Samaritan, that had leprosy. And so Luke wanted to make sure to point that out. The Holy Spirit inspired Luke to point that out to remind us that Jesus was a prophet just like these guys. And so the question is for us, as we take, you know, the bread that represents his broken body and the juice or the fruit of the vine that represents his blood spilled out, you know, just like these guys, are we just wanting the fame, the blessings, right? These guys wanted them to make their hometown famous, right? Are we just wanting God to make us famous, to make us rich, to make us wealthy? Or do we want to participate in the new covenant? Do we want to have the blessings of communion, being able to remember Jesus' sacrifice and his death on the cross and the blessing of baptism, being able to have our sins forgiven? Are we just focused on this earthly world, so to speak, because they missed the Messiah? They were so focused and worried about the miracles. And so as we take the bread today, let's remember what Jesus did for us, right? As we take the juice, let's remember the blessings that we are able to have because of Christ. Let's go ahead and pray.